God supplies all of our needs. He supplies all that we need and all that He wants us to do. And you know, if He didn't want us here, we wouldn't be here. The same with you. If God didn't have a plan for you to be here today, you wouldn't be here today. Amen. He brings us into a place that we can worship Him and we can learn of Him. You know, a lot of people have the attitude that we already know everything we need to know. But God brings us to a place that we find out that we need more than what we think. I was sitting thinking this week, and Doug kind of gave me an idea. And I was sitting thinking, Lord, what can I speak about? What does people need to know? You know, two characters out of the Bible, two people out of the Bible, gave me some inspiration, that being David and Job. You know, these are two of the greatest people I can think of in the Bible besides Christ Himself, because they went through so much in life. They went through so much in their walk with God that they had reason to complain. They had reason to go turn their back, as we look at it as humans. But they had so much more to gain with Christ. They had so much more to gain in God's work. And you know, today we're going to try to speak a little bit on endurance. And you know, how many of us really endure? How many of us had to go to a place where we endure serving Christ? Thank you. You know, I was looking at the definition of endure, and it's a lot different a lot of times than what we think. And I was looking at it in Webster. It says, to last. To endure means you're going to last throughout no matter what. To continue in the same state. You know, we think that we're enduring, but yet we change. But in God's Word, in the definition of it, we don't change from what we were. We don't change from where we're at. We just keep on a steady path and working towards God. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm going to fail this time. You know, when we got God and we endure through the very problems that we have, we'll not change. We'll just keep on going. Without the same state, without perishing, to remain, to abide, to bear with patience. You know, that's one that really gets us, the patience part of it. How many people has got patience in here today? How many people think they're really patient? You know, if you've got patience, you'll see that you've gone through quite a bit. Somebody that hasn't gone through what we think they should or what we think we are, they don't have the patience that we think they need. Pray for me. I'm just, as I was telling someone before service, the first time I ever spoke here was a year ago, 5 days ago. So it's been a little while. I've spoke one time before, but this is the first time I've really had the energy to get up and speak the way that I feel like God wants me to. And you know, He's brought me through quite a bit. And I've had to endure a little bit. But I tell you what, it's been worth it all. You know, He's brought me closer to Him. And when you endure, God brings you closer into Him. And you learn of Him. And you start seeing Him in other people. And I want to go to Job this morning, the first chapter, the first verse. How many know who Job was? How many people know what Job went through? You know, when I ask, do you know who Job was and what he's gone through? You know, we really don't know what he went through. We really can't feel the things that he went through because he lost it all. How many here today has lost everything in their life? I mean, their family, their friends, everything in the world that they had. You know, Job was a rich man. He was very rich, and he was a magistrate over his area. He was the one that was in control over the area. Back then, they didn't own land as much as they do today because there wasn't as many people you could spread out and you could do everything. But it says in the first verse, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. You know, I was thinking about that this week as I was going. How many of us really fear God? How many of us really have a fear and we stay away from evil every time we can? You know, I can't say much on any of us today because we seem like, as people, we lost our fear of God. We lost this thing that we know God and what He is, but we don't fear Him anymore. And in the second verse, it says, and 7 sons, 3 daughters were born to him. And also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels. It's easier to see down here. 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people in the East. You know, He had quite a bit. And this is how they gauge the riches of a man and how important he was, is through what he had. It wasn't by land. Today, if a man owns several thousand acres, he's a rich man. Back then, they went by what he owed or what he owned. And he owned 7,000 sheep. You know, that's quite a bit. He could have sheep, and it's kind of coincidental, I'm not sure it was coincidental, but he had seven sons. And with these seven sons, he had 7,000 or 1,000 sheep each. And this shows his importance. He had enough to supply his family. And he had 3,000 camels. And if you notice, he has three daughters. So when they went to get married, he had something to present to the people that he had, that who was going to marry him. And he had enough ox and sheep, 500 yoke of ox. And that was for himself. And 500 female donkeys. And now you may say, why are you telling us all this? It's because this was showing him the importance of who he was. You know, he was a very rich man as far as man could see. But there's another reason I want to bring this out to you today. It also tells you that a man with great possessions can still serve the Lord. He can still have something to give. You know, a lot of people have this idea that if a man has a lot, he can't serve God. You know, that's not true. There's people God gave a lot because God could trust him with a lot. And if he can trust you with a lot, then he can trust you in all. Pray for me this morning. You know, when you don't do this often, it gets kind of hard, Brother Jack. You get a little nervous. Brenda's asking me on the way to church this morning, are you nervous yet? I said, no. But as soon as I walked in that door, I started feeling nervous. But so pray for me. And you know, he had all this earthly goods. And I like what it said. He is the greatest of all people of the East. He was a great man. He ruled over people. He gave people judgment. You know, as men of God and women of God, we judge over people also in their spiritual sense. We know who is saved and who's not. And we can tell what they need. And we as Christians, we need to serve people. If they're not Christians, we need to serve the Word of God to them. And down in verse 4, and his sons would go and feast in their houses, each on his appointed day, and would send and invite their sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was on the day of feasting had run their course, and Job would send and sanctify them. And he would rise early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus Job did regularly. You know, we as Christians, we need to look over our family. We need to make sure they know who God was or is in our life and how he affects our life. We're going to pause here for a second. I'm going to say a prayer again. You know, Satan's fighting this morning, but Satan does have control. He doesn't have control one bit. As we're going down through this, you'll find out if we endure through the small things, if we go through the small things, God will take us through the big things. The fears that we have in our heart, the things that's going against us, God will take away and we'll be able to minister to you. Father, we come to you, Lord. I know they've already prayed, Lord, but we ask you to take away our nerves, take away all the things that's becoming a hindrance, Lord. Help us to endure, Lord, all the days of our life. Help us to do what you'd have us to do. Just give us the strength, the mercy, and grace, Lord, that we could always speak your word. Set us aside and let the Holy Ghost speak through us, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. But Job was a great man. How many great men do we have today that will stand up for the Lord? You know, they're getting fewer and fewer, and they are having times that the great man is gone that serve the Lord. There's fewer and fewer, and we need to pray for these men that have rule over us. And you know, there are some great men out there that have rule over us, and we need to pray for them, and we need to stand up for them and let them know that we're backing them. But Job took care of his children, and he led them. And I believe that's what he was doing when he would go to them and make the offerings, letting them know that he was a godly man, and he was wanting to let them know that God is the primary purpose of our life, and let him see that in his life. And then the sixth verse, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. The Lord said, Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth. You know, Satan's out among us today, just like he was back then. He's going to and fro and seeing what's going on in the world. And he's watching the Christians and seeing what they're doing. And this is the best part of this story that I really like. When Satan goes to and fro and people are seeing that he's leading them astray. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. You know, that's a great testimony. That even God will look at a person. You know, I was thinking here a while back, and I was thinking how bad Job must have had it. I know what I've gone through. I know where I've been. And sometimes I have this little pity party for myself thinking, Lord, I'm almost like Job, and I've gone through so much, you know. But I got to look at what Job went through. He lost it all. He lost everything that he had in his life. And as we go on down through there, you'll see that he lost his family. He lost every possession he had. And the way that he lost them, it almost looked like God took them from him. There was a great wind came and killed his children. There was a fire that came and took away. There was other people that came to battle and took everything that he had. And Satan was trying to make it look like God took everything he had. But Job knew. And if we're a true Christian today, we know where our troubles come from. It's not God. It's Satan that come after us. And you know, I was thinking about the name Satan. It means adversary. He is our true adversary. He is the one that stands against us. And when times get rough, we think, well, God has left me. It's not that God left you. But he trusts you enough that he would come down and let Satan go through and let Satan come up on you and attack you in ways that we never thought. I get a little comfortable down here with you. I feel like I'm with you instead of up there. But Satan comes upon us and he takes everything that we had. He'd love to take our faith even, but he can't because God's got that protected. He'd love to be able to take our words from us. He'd love to be able this morning to say, you've just messed up, Mark. Nobody's listening. Nobody cares. Let's just go to the last page and get it over with. And that way people can go home and do what they want. But he can't do that because the Holy Spirit is here today. The Holy Spirit is what guides us and what keeps us. The Holy Spirit is what gives us the Word. And that is part God. That is God himself in man's heart today. And Satan said unto the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him? You know, I like that. God has a hedge around each and every one of us. And as Brother Doug and I was talking, God had a hedge around me. And I don't mean to bring this up, and I don't want anybody's pity, but God has put a hedge about me that Satan couldn't take my life. He took my health. He took everything that he could from me. He took my strength. He took all the things about me except for my family and what God has protected. No, God has a hedge among his people. He's got you protected tonight, and Satan can't do anything to you unless God gives him the permission. And that's one of the biggest things I wanted to bring to you today. God has a hedge. He's got protection around you and about you. But God keeps you and guides you. He's allowed Satan to come upon you, yes. But Satan can't take you. Satan can't take the things that God has protection because God does put a hedge about us. And let Satan go as far as he can. And you might think, well, why does God do this? Because he finds you worthy to be battled by Satan. He finds that you are the one that Satan can't take. He knows how much faith you've got. He knows how much love you have for him and what he can do. But Satan comes up on people. Jason, let's go back all the way down to the 2 Samuel starting, the 22nd chapter, the first verse. And then, this is the other person I was talking about, David. No, there's a difference between David and Job. Job didn't have any of this stuff come upon him because of anything he did. But David had failed God. He had gone places that sometimes we're like that. We allow sin to come upon us. Remember when David failed God by taking another man's wife, sent that guy into battle. You know, sometimes we do that. We fail God. We come over to the side and we allow things to come up in our life. We allow things to fall upon us and we fail God. We sin. You know, last time I spoke, I was talking about how we all have sin in our life and that we've come to the side. And yes, none of us are perfect. But David was a man just like we are. He has a temptation of a man. You know, a lot of people don't realize that. Even though he was a great man, and it said that he was after God's own heart. You know, can we say that we're like that today? We're out there trying to find God's own heart. We're trying to live so close to God. You know, it's hard to do. It's hard to say that we seek after God that close. But we got to. You know, those who endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Have you endured? Do you know that you have endured unto the very end? Have you come out and worked hard for God? You know, a lot of times we like to think that we do and that we have. But this is one of my favorite chapters in Samuel. I won't say in the Bible because I've got a lot of favorite chapters in the Bible. It seems like each one means something special to me. And I go to each chapter in the Bible and I'm like, oh, this is a verse from way back when I was learning. It meant so much to me. And if you seek out the Word of God, each chapter, each verse will have a special meaning to you if you just keep on seeking after God. But this is where one of the verses chapters I was rooted in. And David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all of his enemies and the hand of Saul. You know, God delivers us. Just as he delivered Job, if we'd gone on through, God delivered Job from everything he had. And he gave him even more than what he started out with. You know, when you go through persecution, when you go through all the things of this world and everything seems like it's going against you and God's there, he'll deliver you and bring you further than what you were. You know, that's what I'm looking forward to. You know, one day I'll have more than what I ever had before. It may be in the next life, but I'll have more. You know, the doctors and stuff can only bring me so far. And yeah, I'm going back to that because that's my testimony. We have a testimony in this life, each and every one of us do. And we have things that comes upon us. And sometimes we have to just depend on God. You know, this morning I had to depend on God to give me what he needs me to say. I can't do it on my own this morning, Zach. And if I try, I'll be a failure. But God has brought me so far. There was a point where I couldn't walk. I was paralyzed. I remember laying there in the hospital bed and trying to eat a spoonful of peas. There was more on the bed than what I had in my mouth. But God delivered me from that. I can walk now. I can feed myself now. I can tell you what God has done for me. I can tell you where God has brought me from. There's a time that I couldn't do anything for myself. I had to depend upon Brenda to just do everything. She'd have to dress me and everything. But God has brought me from that. And there was a time when the doctors thought I wasn't going to live, but God brought me through that. Satan tried to take each part of my life and just tear it down, everything I had. And yeah, I thought I was a lot like Job, but I didn't have anything like Job had. I still have a family. I still have friends that closer than friends. Their family here too. God has brought me through so much. And, you know, sometimes we feel sorry for ourselves. But we don't need to feel sorry for ourselves. We just need to give praise to God and let other people know what God has done for us. It'd be like Zach would lose his voice and God would bring him back. He'd have to praise God for it. And I had to praise God for everything in my life, the family he gave me. know, he gave me a great family. Someone that loves God. He gave me a wife that loves God. And that's willing to work for God, willing to support me when I'm trying to work for God. Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song. On the day when the Lord delivered him from the hands of the enemies and from the hand of Saul. You know, we need to praise God when we have deliverance. We need to praise God when God brings the cancer out of us, when God brings the flu out of us, or whatever we're going through. We need to praise God in all things. And he said, Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. And if we look at the word rock and fortress, they mean the same thing. And I think David was repeating that so that we'd really understand what it meant. It meant his strength. Means of safety, protection, security. Both those words mean all that. God is our security. He's our strength. And until we remember that, we'll never make it through this. And we need to thank God for our strength. You know, if we didn't have his strength in our life, we'd never make it another breath. We'd never be able to do anything else. My deliverer, he's the one that brings us out of the things that we're going against. You know, when we go against the things of this world, it's only God that brings us through it. He's the one that shows us the way. My deliverer. How many times have we been delivered? If you're a true saint of God, if you're a Christian, you've been delivered from the time that you've bowed your knees and asked him into your life until now. He delivers you from the things that the devil wants to put up on you. He puts that hedge of protection like he put Job and brings you to the place that you need to be. The God of my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield, the horn of my salvation. My stronghold, my refuge, my Savior. You saved me from violence. David knew what God was about. And we need to know what God is about in our life. He knew that he was the strength, the only strength he ever had. He was the only deliverer that he had. He's the one that loved him more than anyone else could love him. You know, I got great family and they love me. But I got a Savior that loves me even more. There's one out there that can love you beyond anything. He can deliver you. You know, this world has sin all about it. And they try to tempt us to go into sin. But the temptation's from Satan. And God only allows him to put that temptation on him because he knows that you've got the strength through him to withstand it. You know, sometimes we wonder how we stand things. But God is there. Now this is one of those verses that really touched my heart. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemy. When's the last time you called for God to deliver you from what's going on about you? You know, there's people here today that's trying to fight their battle on their own and trying to do things on their own. And we can't do it, Zach. We can't fight the battles without Christ there. Brother Don, he's our fortress. He's our stronghold. He's the one that will deliver us from everything that's going upon us. Satan can bring the things of this world, make you feel like you're defeated, but you're not defeated as long as you hold God's hands. You're not defeated as long as you bow down on your knees and let God touch your heart and bring you out of it. He's our stronghold. He's our fortress. You know, those two words are so strong. You know, without a fortress, an army cannot win. Without a stronghold, they cannot overcome the one they're battling. And we got to depend upon that stronghold in our life. We got to depend upon that one who can deliver us. My God, the God of my strength. You know, I was thinking earlier today, on the way here, would I have the strength to stand up and witness for the Lord? My God, I've got a God that gives me that strength this morning. He gave me the strength to come up here, not only physically, but emotionally, because I was like, God, I can't do this. God, I can't stand up because it's been so long. And Satan's got my memory so messed up. But God is my strength, and he brings back the word as I need it. He says, study to show yourself approved, a workman. And at the end, the word will come back to you. He brings back the word that he has me to say. And today, if I just shut up now, what I brought forth so far would touch your heart. Because we're here for one reason, to hear the word of God. We're here only to know God and to fellowship one another, but to feel God's strength and our deliverance today. I could ask right now who needs deliverance, and every Christian here would have to raise their hand. Because every Christian here has a battle that they're facing. Every Christian here has something going on in their life that they need deliverance from. I can't say that I'm any worse or any better than anyone else here, because I have my battles and you have your battles. And I may think some days that my battle's stronger than yours, but God knows how much each of us can handle. He knows exactly what we need to go through and where he needs to step in and deliver us, because he is our deliverer, our strength. In whom will I trust? There's only one person we can trust today. And I say person, but he's our God. Because he came down in a person. He came down as a person and walked through everything that we walk through. He came down as a man that he could feel the temptation and feel all the things that we go through and yet be delivered. He could stand up and say, I went through that. I went through it, Micah. I know where you're at. All this temptation you're going through. I went through this. And I will deliver you because I know there's deliverance. My shield and the horn of my salvation. Aren't you glad you got a shield there? Something to deliver you from, with. My stronghold, my refuge, my Savior. Have you ever thought what a Savior actually is? A Savior is one that will deliver you and will put their self in harm's way to bring you. You know, talking to Doug right after I had surgery, and I told him, I have an earthly Savior as well as a heavenly Savior. Because he saved me from dying. He's one that said, I'll risk my own life that you may have life. That's the way Christ did. He came down and laid down his life that you may have life. That you may know who he is. You saved me from violence. You know, the devil would have us tore apart. The devil would have us like Job, each and every one of us. He'd have tried to take everything away from us and put the violence of the world upon us. You know, there are times that we feel like we're not even worthy for God to stand there with us, but Christ found us worthy. When the waves of death surround me, the floods of the ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears. You know, David was talking about a lot there. No matter where we is at, even though it felt like hell was upon us, all we had to do is cry out unto the Lord. All we had to do is say, God, help me, and he'll be there. And he'll be there with a vengeance too, because he doesn't want his children to be harmed. You know, I was sitting there looking at this morning. And I was thinking about, as we're going down through, he delivered me from the strong enemy, from those who hated me. For they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord has my support. You know, if you go on down through there, and it talks about how he came out with fire and with all the ways that God took over and just came out with a vengeance for his people, for David. You know, when somebody bothers God's children, there's a vengeance he comes with. And I'm thinking of a time when he comes back again and he comes to deliver his children. It's not going to be, well, y'all move out of the way, I'm going to take my children home. It's going to be coming with a vengeance. He's going to take over and just lock up Satan in hell. Our adversary will be taken out of our way. You know, Satan is a big adversary for us today. And we don't know what others have gone through. We think, well, I've been so abused by Satan and by the world. You know, we don't know what the rest of the world's going through. how people are giving their life every day for the testimony of Christ. We don't know what it's like to be the one that's killed because we stood up for Christ, or have our family members taken away from us because we stood up for Christ. And there's coming a day real soon that the world's going to have that, that they're going to be taken out of this life because they are a witness. We got to wonder, Lord, how will I stand? Will I be one of the weak that falls by the way? Will I be the one that endures? Mark, the 13th chapter, 13th verse says, "And you'll be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved." Are we going to endure? Are we going to stand up for Christ no matter what? If somebody came in right now with a weapon in their hand and said, "If you deny Christ, I'll let you go out the door. But if you say that he's your God, I'm going to kill you." How many of us would really be able to stand up? Would our heart be right enough with God that we would stand up and say, "Yes, I'm a Christian"? You know, we'd always like to say that right now. But our feet have to be firmly planted in that fortress, in that stronghold. We got to know who Christ is. We got to know what he's done for us. "Blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Blessed is the man. You know, God's going to deliver you if your heart's in the right place. You know, it's time that we quit playing church. It's time that we stand up and say, "This is who I am. This is what I believe." But so many times we get our feelings hurt and we feel like we've been abused. We feel like we've been put down, that God doesn't love us. There are so many times that we fall to temptation because we don't want to stand for Christ. Temptation is easily battled when you've got Christ on your side. All we've got to do is depend upon him. All we've got to do is say, "Yes, you are my God. You're the one I stand for. You're the one I want for my salvation." But yet so many times we say, "Lord, I can't handle it." But he says, "I'll protect you. I'll be like I was with Job. I'll put a barrier around you that you won't fall. And if you do fall, I'll be there with you, willing to forgive you of your sins." He says he's an advocate to the Father. He says, "I'd have you sin not. But if you do sin, I'm an advocate with the Father." Is he your advocate today? Is he the one standing by the Father and says, "Yes, that's my child. He is the one that I love enough that I died for"? You know, could you imagine what temptation it was there in the garden when Christ was sitting there praying? That he didn't want to die. His body didn't want to die. But yet, he knew what was going to happen if he didn't die for our sins. He knew that what would happen if he wasn't the sacrifice. He's our sacrifice today. He went to the Father. He's been our advocate. You know, David knew who he was even before he died for us. He knew the Father. And I know that he knew the Son. And he had a taste of the Holy Ghost. But where do we stand today? Are we like Job, willing to withstand everything and love God no matter what? Are we like the world that wants to run every time something comes up? God is our deliverer this morning. God is the one that loves us enough that he would die for us. Now, I know this has been scattered, but this is the way God led me. I spent probably 8 hours yesterday trying to battle this out and say, "Lord, what do you want me to be?" This is what he gave me. And it seems like it's so far apart, David and Job, because one was a man that failed God, and one was one that loved God with everything he had. But David loved God also. Even though he failed, David was a man after God's own heart. Can you say you're a person after God's own heart today? that you will do anything it takes in this world to serve God. Yeah, sometimes we stumble and fall. And if you could see my life sometimes, you'd wonder why God loved me. If you could read my mind sometimes, you'd say, how could God even touch a person like that? But He loved us enough that He would send His only begotten Son, that if I would believe in Him, I would not perish. I would not fall by the wayside, but I could have eternal life. You know, we've all heard that verse so many times in our life, but have we really listened to that verse? Have we listened to the point where we know what it means? Yeah, we can fluff through the Bible and say, I know this verse and that verse. But really, do we know the verse? For God so loved the world. For God so loved each and every one of us. God loved us more than He loved His Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. He would take us through this and give us eternal life. You know, our only other option is hell. If we don't love Christ and don't accept Him, there's only one other option in our life, and that's hell. We're going to die and go there. So this morning, as the musicians come, I want you to think how much God loves you, how much He's done for you, and what He's brought you through. We may be a Job that loved God so much, or we may be a David that loved God so much and yet failed. Job had very little sin in his life. He even prayed for his children there'd be deliverance in their life, that they wouldn't fall by the wayside. He gave a sacrifice for each one of his children that they would have eternal life. Or we're going to be like David. Yeah, I made a mistake, God. I failed again, but I know that You're there with me. I know that You're going to deliver me. Even though I did some sins that everybody around me thinks awful, I know that You still love me. I know that You're still with me, and that You always will be with me. Where do you stand this morning?